It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm in number one of the triple dipper for the day, talking about the war on woke. The war on woke. I mean, right now, what you're seeing around the nation is people are not just sitting idly by and letting it happen like they were at one point. I mean, during COVID, there was this period of time when I feel like people were so beaten down, they didn't know how to respond to anything. They didn't even go to church. They didn't have an opportunity to get together. And then during the latter parts of the campaign season for the 2020 elections, it became apparent that there were people that were saying, wait a minute. And you saw the massive rallies for Trump, followed by the very tepid, kind of embarrassingly ridiculous rallies, so-called rallies, for Biden, where people would sit in cars, even the cars were spread out, and they'd honk their horns and flash their lights when instead of clapping. It was just kind of weird. Well, since then, though, it's been ramping up to the point that now we're seeing true protests. We're seeing official fight backs, if you will. The war on woke is not just them hitting us now. It's a trading of blows. Well, story on Fox here, and I'll follow up with another one from Breitbart, but story on Fox right here. Title of it is Don't Buy the Hype, Rogue Prosecutors Driving Violent Crime Surge, Not Guns, said one expert. This is a debate in the article between two. Fox gave an opposing opinion to this, as well as the one who leads the article. But the storyline right now you're seeing around the nation, and part of it is woke policies being implemented, soft on crime district attorneys across this country are to blame for, if you think about it, for spikes in violent crime. And then they're still trying to blame firearms. Like, the guns are the things that are running out shooting people all by themselves. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe it was a gun, by the way, that pushed someone off the train platform in New York City recently. I don't believe it was a gun that walked in off the streets in L.A. and stabbed a young lady, a grad student, who was working at night by herself. I don't believe it was a gun that caused a story that I just read on Fox during the break. Literally, they're looking for a guy who tried to rape a woman in broad daylight, in the open, in a crowded train, and the other members of the passengers on the train able to fight him off, and he ran away. None of those involved firearms. What they involved was an emboldened criminal element of our society that does not feel like there is any deterrent to crime anymore, and they'll do whatever they feel like because they know they got a revolving door from these liberal, soft-on-crime district attorneys. So this storyline here by a former U.S. district attorney or U.S. attorney in D.C., he says, guns don't commit crimes, neither do knives and hammers. People do. He's now at the Heritage Foundation. He says it's a red herring to focus on guns rather than the harder issue of how to enforce the law fairly and to hold criminals accountable. Across the country, here's the stats in this article. Homicides up 30% in 2020 compared to 2019. Murder rates in 22 major cities were up 44% in 2021 and 5% compared to 2020. In other words, it's a continuing escalation of crime. Well, a guy named Charles Stimson, a former U.S. attorney who now works as a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Another guy named Jeffrey Butts, who's the director of research and evaluation at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, disagreed. He says, the argument about woke prosecutors is entirely ideological and devoid of evidence. There's no correlation between the quality and tone of prosecution and the violent crime surge we see in the last 2 years. Well, I tell you what, sir, how about you go live in New York City and see how you feel about it? How about you live in L.A. or San Francisco or Chicago, where people literally don't go to jail? You have people that, in New York City, you can shoot a cop and be out on bail that afternoon and then get arrested a week later. They just had a guy, by the way, this morning on the news, they were talking about a guy in New York City who was arrested for violent assault, bonded out, and was arrested for another violent assault the next week while out on bond for the first one. And that same individual, by the way, has been arrested no less than 24 times for violent acts, and he's only 30 years old. Well, here's the pushback. Story on Breitbart, dated 3 days ago, February 7th. Report is out that Hollywood liberal elites are donating to the recall of Soros-backed Los Angeles DA George Gascon, one of the most liberal DAs in the United States. Funded by George Soros, is now subject to a potential recall election because California does allow recalls. And Even the most liberal elites of Hollywood are now joining the effort to get him out. So for this guy from the John Jay School of whatever, of foolishness, the John Jay School of foolishness, for him to say there's no correlation between the liberal DAs and crime rate. Yes, there is. And people, even the liberals, in they're tired of it. Because you know why? Because it came to their backyard, literally. I'm just saying, you had a situation. What was her name? I got to find this in the article. Jacqueline Avant. She was the wife of a famous music executive, and she was killed in a home invasion robbery in an exclusive Beverly Hills neighborhood just last year. Oh, yeah. And then you also have Brianna Kupfer, who was stabbed to death while she was working at L.A. Furniture Store in January. You have Gascon, who is blamed for the murder of this lady named Avant, without mentioning his own lenient policies, because he took office and he did all these social justice reforms to the criminal system. People are out before they're in, if you know what I mean. Well, they're collecting all kinds of donations from people in Hollywood to support the recall effort. Yes. Oh, yes, they are. Here's another story off of justthenews.com. States are having to do the locals' jobs. State officials in Illinois announced on Monday a new effort to go after organized retail crime rings in Illinois. Because, by the way, they're not doing anything at the local level, like, say, for instance, in Chicago. The Illinois Attorney General's office is teaming up with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association on several initiatives, including cutting down on third-party sales of stolen items. He said, they say that it's actually like sophisticated criminal enterprises. And, oh, by the way, they're also saying that nothing's being done at the local level, so the state has no choice but to step in. The war on woke. What else we got in this? What else you got in your stack over there, Williams? Well, let me tell you. Here's a story that Bongino put together. Got this off the Bongino report, dated 2 days ago, February the 8th. Department of Homeland Security. Oh, good. Alejandro Mayorkas again. Department of Homeland Security terrorism bulletin warns of terror threat from people who are spreading false narratives. You heard me. I guess that would be this whole show, right? The Department of Homeland Security has just warned of a, quote, heightened extremism threat, but it is not ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Here's a quote. You ready? The United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. They call that MDM. Apparently, they have an acronym. That's misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. Those are all very similar, but okay, mis, dis, and malinformation can get you in trouble with the Department of Homeland Security in the war on woke. Well, I just got news. There's a thing called the First Amendment. And if you were putting something on your social media page, I mean, I would choose not to associate with some. I don't want to be in some, you know, organization that's promoting racism or violence against the government. Not at all. But I will say this. If you could stand on the public square and burn the American flag and set fire to the Portland, federal courthouse, and it'd be called an otherwise peaceful, peaceful gathering. What do they call that? Peaceful protest. I'm sorry. A peaceful protest. If that can be called a peaceful protest, then how is it that posting something online can be considered somewhat subversive to the point that the Department of Homeland Security needs to be involved? Well, big tech is also in the war on woke. Yes. Oh, yes, they are. So I'll finish this segment of the Triple Dipper in the War on Woke by letting you know that you need to watch what's happening on your computer. So thank you to my brother who sent me one story. This comes from Google. The Sun.com reporting that as of about 30, 40 days ago, I didn't realize this, it says that Google is threatening to restrict your photos and videos on the Google Drive. In other words, they're flagging your documents. And they will not allow them to be disseminated. If you have a Google Doc you need somebody else to look at, but it is deemed offensive in some way to the people at Google, you will not be allowed to see that disseminated. You'll get a flag, and you will be you will be unable to share that document. That's Google going through your stuff. Basically, Google's reading your mail, folks, and deciding what their people think that you should be allowed to share with others. Okay. Whereas TikTok, by the way, TikTok is now banning misgendering and pro-conversion therapies in their contents. What? The new policies for TikTok include explicit bans on using transgender individuals' old names. In other words, don't call Susie Bob if she really was Bob when she was born and now she wants to be Susie. Don't dare call her Bob. Don't use their old names or their wrong pronames. Don't engage in misogyny, however they define that, or promoting pro-conversion therapy content. Okay, TikTok. Well, I got a caller. I'll take that real quick before I go to the break. Let me do that real quick. Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike. Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. One of the things I was talking about is that I read the Homeland Security report. Have you read it?
I've not read the whole report, no.
Okay, it is really, really bad. Basically, if you challenge the election based on the fraudulent stuff that's coming out, if you are a advocate of Second Amendment, if you do anything like that, basically all people who believe that, you know, follow the American First ideology are enemies of the state. It's like the Chinese communists have taken over the Homeland Security from Mallorca. Well, actually, Mallorca is pretty much dishonest anyway. But it's a really dangerous time period in America where you are making free speech a terroristic act.
Absolutely. It absolutely is, Mike. And that's a great point. Tell you what, I'm gonna reach out and try to find a copy of that report. I think there's a link to it in one of the articles that I resourced the show for today. So great point. Mike from Huntsville, we're up against a break, brother. Thank you for the call. And you are right. It's it does not mean you don't have the right to freedom of speech. It means they just don't want you to have it. All right, folks, listen, Phil Williams, we're going to take a break right now here on Right Side Radio. We come back, I'm switching gears. You're going to want to be in tune with this one. We're going to step outside of our smaller bubble and look at the big bubble. What's going on around the world right now? I'm calling this next section of the Triple Dipper National Insecurity. Yep, stay tuned. Lots to talk about. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm calling this next section of the Triple Dipper National Insecurity. Now, let me make sure I say right up front, I have every confidence in the quality of our U.S. military, all right? I do not have confidence in the leadership of the Commander-in-Chief and those who are in the upper echelons right now that are guiding things. It's like I said to this audience and to a number of veterans in the wake of the Afghanistan pullout. You know, I had one sweet lady who called into the show. She was a Gold Star mother who wanted to know on the air, did her son die for nothing as the debacle of the Afghanistan withdrawal was unfolding? And I told her no, that her son's passing was honorable and it was meaningful. And at the same time, it was the men in the suits that lost the war, or lost the peace, actually, not the men in the boots, all right? So men and women in uniform right now, you are much appreciated. And as I go to this next section, when I call it national insecurity, it is not because of the quality of our military, not at all. It is because of the lack of quality that I see in the leadership of our nation's military right now and the concerns I have about the rising tensions around the world. Let me do this. I want to play one clip for you because there are things happening. Copper, you go ahead. You good to go? Clip one and two? Good. All right, great. Thank you. Copper's on the money. So listen, let me start with this. Retired General Kellogg, Keith Kellogg, he was a national security advisor to Vice President Mike Pence, a retired three-star general with a pretty stellar career. He's now a commentator on national security issues. General Kellogg, 2 days ago, was on Fox being interviewed by Trey Gowdy. And he gave two very succinct and direct assessments of different regions of the world and what we face there. The first one was the fact that he believes that Iran could be nuclear capable this year. And the second was on what Putin has done to shore himself up in the wake of NATO bracing itself for his actions. I want to play you the first one and give you an idea of the fact that what you watch in Ukraine is only one aspect of the world. Only one. Copper clip one is General Kellogg talking about Iran. Go ahead and play it.
Joining us now is former National Security Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. General Kellogg, thank you for joining us. Do you think Iran will become nuclear capable? And if so, what happens then?
Yeah, thanks, Trey. Thanks for having me tonight. Yep, they're on their way. I think you're going to see a nuclear breakout. And what I mean by a breakout, they're going to have enough enriched uranium to produce a nuclear weapon easily within the year. They're currently producing enrichment about 60 to 70%, 90% gets weapons grade. They admit doing it, and there's no way we're going to stop it. Look, it's a fool's errand to try to get them back into the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Iran nuclear deal. Once we started lifting sanctions, we just lifted another one on called CivNuke, which means now that third parties and other countries can actually help them develop their nuclear capability. And Ali Shamkhani, who's their chief of staff in the National Security Council, said nobody has the right to tell us to do what we want to do with nuclear development, and either peaceful, or what concerned me was the word he used, or security means. So they're heading that way. The Israelis are correct. We ought to be thinking right now, what do we do when they do have a breakout? Because it's going to destabilize the Middle East.
Well, there's the first thing that I want you to hear. And Copper, you hold clip two for me, because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But the bottom line is this. As we look at questions about what Putin is doing in Ukraine, it is one of, I would go ahead and designate four major fronts right now. Four major fronts that are getting frisky, if you will. That's not some kind of foreign policy term of art. That's just Phil Williams trying to be euphemistic. But the reality is, it's getting a little frisky. And we got several situations. The first is going to be the Middle East, because Iran is looking at a potential nuclear breakout, according to General Kellogg. And in his words, that would destabilize the Middle East. Why? Because Saudi Arabia is not going to stand for Iran being nuclear and them not. One is Shia and the other is Sunni. They will not stand for that. On top of that, you have Israel, who has already said they will not allow Iran to go fully nuclear. They will take action if the rest of the world won't. And I don't blame them, because Iran still says death to Israel on a daily basis. And then you've got Ukraine and Eastern Europe. And then you've got China and Taiwan. And then, oh, by the way, I'll tell you in a minute about the fact that North Korea just announced that they have a intercontinental ballistic missile that they believe can reach the United States. Why would they even say that? Because they're posturing alongside their Chinese neighbors.
20.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. National insecurity, that's what we're talking about. Be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Do you have confidence in the Biden administration's ability to lead the United States through armed conflict? That's not a rhetorical question. It just came out of my mouth. That wasn't even what I planned on saying, but there it was. Do you have confidence in the Biden administration's ability to lead this nation in the face of armed conflict? I'll be honest with you. I don't think they could find their backside with both hands right now. They are so outclassed, and it's irritating, because here we have the greatest military in the history of the world, and they are doing things like stripping soldiers who are highly trained, even out of special operations units, because they didn't want to get a shot, because they'd asked for a religious exemption and it was denied. They're doing things like, oh, I don't know, just the other day, I couldn't help it. I saw on Twitter that the Department of Defense official Twitter feed had posted an article in the middle of everything else going on, how important it was that the United States military has diversity and inclusion. Shut up. I mean, the reality is this. I mean, and by the way, when I tweeted, I had to tweet back at that. I had to tweet back at it because, and by the way, all I did was I tweeted back a picture of Clint Eastwood from Heartbreak Ridge looking at one of the other guys going, shut up, hippie. And that's just, said it all. But in the face of all of that, we have things going on around this world right now. So I'm calling this section National Insecurity. I played you a clip a minute ago of Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg giving a very candid assessment that he believes that on one front, multiple fronts here, folks, that on one front, we face the possibility, the very real possibility, in fact, in his belief, the likelihood, that Iran is going to have what he calls a nuclear breakout within this year. And when that happens, he said, it runs the risk of destabilizing the Middle East. Well, he went on to have some other very candid comments about Russia, which I'll get to in just a minute. But let me tell you about some other things that are happening. Breitbart.com, 2 days ago, reporting that Taiwan has now received Patriot missiles as China's threats build. Under siege, Taiwan, says Breitbart, has received military support in the form of the approval of U.S. weapons contracts on Monday for $100 million in military sales, allowing them access to get Patriot air and missile defense systems. Of course, China reacted furiously, with China's foreign ministry spokesperson saying on Tuesday that the deal seriously undermines China's sovereignty and security interests and seriously damages China's U.S. relations. I got news. China and U.S. relations were already looking difficult anyway, and we do not want Taiwan falling to Chinese aggression. That's going to be a rub. Yeah, keep an eye on what's going to happen when the Olympics are over, by the way. That's when you got to watch, because just recently, and General Kellogg will tell you in a minute, just recently, Putin and Xi from China entered into a major agreement. And we don't know what else they talked about. But I cannot help but believe that they are of the opinion that the Biden administration won't know what to do with a two-front issue. FoxNews.com reporting yesterday, North Korea claims that it can hit the U.S. and shake the world with a missile after months of increased testing. They have been. If you remember, during the Trump administration, the negotiations with North Korea took a turn. For the first time ever, a president of the United States stepped across the DMZ and had his photo taken with the premier or president or whatever he is of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And yeah, things have gotten a little weird since then. Just last month, North Korea launched more missiles than it launched all of last year, which is its usual way of trying to flex muscle. Fires them off into the Sea of Japan, which is a little disconcerting for Japan, mind you. And they claim to have created the Hwasong-15 in 2017, not tested it yet, but they now say it's fully capable. And it's their longest-range intercontinental ballistic missile, and it's believed to have a range that can strike the United States. They launched 7 missiles in January alone into the Sea of Japan. They also claim that they've produced a hypersonic glide vehicle, of which only China and Russia have otherwise completed hypersonic glide missile tests, which are considered very difficult to stop despite our usually very solid air defense systems. All right, AmericanMilitaryNews.com. Reporting as of yesterday, President Joe Biden's administration has reportedly authorized a plan for U.S. troops to help Americans fleeing Ukraine amid a Russian attack. My first thought when I saw this article was, oh, good. They've learned their lesson from Afghanistan. I actually sourced the article under that premise, because I'm surfing the news early in the morning. Like this morning at 5:30 or so, I started surfing and resourcing the show. I found this article on AmericanMilitaryNews.com. I thought, you know what? I will call good when I see it. Even if I don't like Biden, if he does something right, I'll say he did it right. I've done that a couple of times on the show. That's all I've had is a couple. But nonetheless, I thought that I was pulling something that says, oh, good. They've learned. They've learned from Afghanistan. No, read closer. I read it just before the show as I was highlighting and getting ready for the show. Officials who spoke with the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday said the plan would entail U.S. troops deployed in Poland near Ukraine's borders to receive and process arriving U.S. citizens, which I put a big question mark next to. And then I read further, it says U.S. troops won't actually enter Ukraine from neighboring countries or fly aircraft missions out of Ukraine, however. Americans fleeing a Russian invasion will first have to get out of Ukraine by their own means and without military support, before U.S. troops in Poland can give them any aid and support. Officials told the Wall Street Journal an estimated 30,000 Americans are in Ukraine and in the event of a Russian attack would have to leave very quickly. God almighty. So they didn't learn from Afghanistan. And we're now looking at the fact that there's 30,000 Americans in Ukraine who, if they need to leave, please leave. You've already seen that you have a government that will not help you. Now, I don't think it's going to be as isolated as what we saw in Afghanistan. I believe they'll probably be able to get out the western side of the country if they had to. But nonetheless, Don't stay there if you don't have to, because this administration has just announced that they won't be coming in to get you. They'll wait for you. We're on the other side of the bridge. Good luck. We're here. Got the coffee on. No. Well, let's talk about what's happening with Putin and Ukraine. Copper, you got clip two. You still good to go on clip two? You ready for it? Clip two is going to be General Kellogg, who is, for the second time, on Trey Gowdy's show. In this case, he's talking about what has just happened. What has Putin done? In his words, Putin has played this thing masterfully and gotten himself in the right posture so he feels less exposed to our threats of sanctions. Copper, clip two, go ahead and play it.
I want to go around the globe with you. What do you make of this agreement, this no limits agreement between Russia and China?
Yeah, it was a smart move on Putin's part. What he did is he protected his flank primarily against sanctions. He just made a deal with the world's second largest economy. So he's got his economic side pretty well buttoned up. And he's also got himself buttoned up within the Security Council of the UN, because now there are two members of the UN, both Russia and China, that can veto anything that happens in the Security Council. And he's caused a tremendous disunion within the world by pushing, and we mean the Chinese, by pushing that arrangement and that agreement. Putin's played it masterfully.
Putin has played it masterfully. He's postured himself in such a way, according to General Kellogg. I was not even aware to the extent of the agreement between, and I try to keep read up, you know, but I was not aware to the extent to which Putin and Xi have apparently entered into an agreement that gives Putin an added sense of security as he faces an imminent invasion of what some are calling an imminent invasion of Ukraine. And by the way, he's got troops right now, not only massed against the borders, he's got troops that are starting military exercises, and he's got his Navy. He's literally got the Navy moving into the Mediterranean right now, looking at potentially, they're saying that it could be an invasion of the port city of Odessa. So I'm just telling you, folks, it's difficult. And I tell you what, I'll take one caller right now before I go to the break. Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you?
I'm doing well. Right Side Ruffian.
Hey, good deal.
I would like to say that when looking at the bad actors here, which China, Russia, possibly Iran, especially China and Russia know that the Biden administration is over a barrel ethically, having involvement through his son and himself as well, taking kickbacks through both countries that we're talking about here. And China, I think, understands that they can pinch him pretty hard, knowing the amount of money is involved in this investment into his son's company, Bohai Harvest or whatever. And then all of the, it seems, Democrat and Republican have issues with Ukraine and bad acting and money making in ways that are very suspicious and unethical. So what I'm asking is, how can we prevent this when it seems we're very much over a barrel?
Well, you make a great point, Lee, and that's the kind of thing that is totally inhibiting our foreign policy. When you have that level of deep connectivity, I mean, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out they don't have pictures of Hunter Biden in a drawer somewhere, if you know what I mean, because lifestyle has always been such that you can take him, and it's classic subterfuge. It's classic to take someone who is high ranking and engage their lack of morals and put them in a compromising position and then use it as blackmail later. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out they have that. They have records of transactions, and they have any number of other things that are going to wind up coming out.
And can I say one thing really quickly?
Sure.
I find it highly offensive that his new drug plan and equality type of things within drug plan that he's going to be in just a small part, I admit, but it's a part of it at all, handing out crack pipes, knowing the damage that this drug has done to his own son, that he wants to damage the black population. I find that awful and disgusting.
Well, there's a whole lot of that going on. And I tell you what, Lee, keep your eyes open, because I don't think we're at the end of that rope yet. I think there's going to be a number of things they're going to try to do to appeal to their base between now and the 2022 elections. And it's got some of their more moderate Democrats extremely nervous. But Lee, great call. Thank you so much for your engagement.
Thank you.
And thanks for being a Right Side Ruffian. All right, folks, listen, we're going to a break right now. We get back, I'll wrap this section up. It's kind of heavy, I know. but you got to pay attention to what's happening in the world. I don't want any right side ruffian saying, I didn't realize that was happening. If you're listening to this show, we're going to tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, you're going to want to stay tuned because top of the hour, we're going to come back from the top of the hour news break, and we'll be in the Grand Council with my brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. We do it every Thursday. It's actually pretty fun. We crack each other up sometimes. We ping each other with questions. We see what kind of conservative viewpoints each one may have. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But we always love each other when it's done. So there's that. That's the Grand Council coming up at 4. Hey, listen, back on the second part of the Triple Dipper for the day, I'm calling this whole section National Insecurity. And, yeah, it's a heavy topic, but we can't avoid it. We got to talk this through, all right? You got to know what's happening in the world. So right now I just gave you a minute ago a very clear assessment that there is strong belief, not the suspicion, but belief, that Iran is on the verge of a nuclear breakout, which could destabilize the Middle East. Then on top of that, I gave you the fact that North Korea fired 7 missiles into the Sea of Japan just last month, more than they had fired in all of last year, and announced yesterday that they believe they now have a not only a hypersonic and a nuclear capability, but they also have an intercontinental ballistic missile that they say can reach the United States. There's that. Then we have China, which is ticked off because China wants Taiwan back. Taiwan broke away in, like, what, 1947? Chiang Kai-shek and all that? I mean, the bottom line is Taiwan's been separated for quite some time. Well, they're still considered to be that rogue breakaway province by the Chinese. Well, folks, if you think we got a semiconductor shortage right now, which is hampering the ability for auto manufacturers and many others to stay open and to manufacture on time, the supply chain for that is going to be totally disrupted if China invades Taiwan, because 90% of the super semiconductors that we use in our major devices and cars comes from Taiwan. Not only that, they're a sovereign nation. They're an island nation to itself, and the gross level of heavy-handedness we're seeing from China is to be watched closely. Then we've got Ukraine. So I say all that to lead you up to that other front. Here's an article off Fox News dated today. Fox News reporting that Turkey is stepping up its Ukraine support as Germany remains distant. So Germany has provided helmets so far, one field hospital and helmets. That's all Germany has provided to Ukraine. Turkey, on the other hand, is building Ada-class Corvette warships to provide to Ukraine and commencing what it calls a solid level of support. And it's kind of weird when you look at it, because you don't think of Turkey. Now, Turkey is a member of NATO. Turkey has also had an icy relationship with the Biden administration and previously with the Obama administration. And I won't say they had a great relationship with the Trump administration. Turkey, by the way, is supposed to be, I mean, we have an Air Force. We have an air base at Incirlik in Turkey. But there's this weird kind of, we're letting you be here kind of relationship. It's not like we're welcomed, and they don't like it when we stage out of there to go to fight in Iraq, for instance. In fact, we're dealing in opposite fashion with Turkey against Kurdish rebels in Syria, because the Turks hate the Kurds. The Kurds are our allies, and we're having to stand in between them quite often. Meanwhile, Turkey, I would say this, here's a summary in the bottom of this article. I guess this kind of makes sense. Turkey's strong support for Ukraine may surprise the West after recent strains in relations. And he talks about Obama and President Biden exchanging barbs with Recep Erdogan, the leader of Turkey. I think this is an example of Turkey saying, well, this is a chance to make the Biden administration look bad on the world stage. Hey, Ukraine, we're there for you. And they are. Meanwhile, the drive.com. TheDrive.com reporting that as of just a few days ago, three different NATO carrier groups, are conducting joint operations in the Mediterranean Sea. We have the Harry S. Truman Carrier Strike Group, combined with the French Task Force 473 with their carrier Charles de Gaulle, and an Italian strike group based around their carrier Cavour. Within our strike group, we have the Harry S. Truman and nine squadrons of Carrier Air Wing 1. We have three destroyers. We have a Ticonderoga-class cruiser. We have two other ships, the USS Cole, USS Jason Durham. I think they're supply ships. I could be wrong. But all said and done, we have a carrier strike group combined with two others working in the Mediterranean. In the meantime, the Kremlin has launched its own maritime force into the Mediterranean using their Slavikas-class cruiser, the Marshal Ustinov, joining forces with the flagship of their Pacific fleet called the Varyag. And they are literally on the move in the Mediterranean. Meanwhile, wrapping it up with this. TheHill.com reporting 2 days ago, 100 U.S. troops. 100. I first thought that. I thought, 100? Then it dawned on me, that's just the ADVON. That's the ADVON, right? That's what we call the advance party. The ADVON, 100 troops, have arrived in Romania to bolster NATO allies. And they are preparing to receive over 900 others of the 82nd Airborne, which is part of the 3,000 that we are sending over there to bolster NATO. Folks, keep your eyes around the world. Keep your eyes on all fronts. Keep your eyes on the fact that Putin and Xi have developed a very warm relationship recently. We got to keep our eyes on all of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we got the Grand Council with my brothers, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You're going to want to hear this. It'll lighten things up a little bit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.